Then you came along.
Welcome you to this service of Ash Wednesday, and here in Pennsylvania, we have had our fill of Fasnacht. We have celebrated the carnival. It is over, and the Lenten season is now upon us. The Lenten season is a time of prayer and fasting, self-examination, and penance for all Christians as we prepare to celebrate Easter. This 40-day journey, we are reminded that we are totally unworthy before God, that we have nothing which we can obtain salvation, and that our best efforts at being righteous fall far short. This season reminds us of how much we need grace in our lives to live a transformed life that reflects God's love. We are called to renew our commitments and our faith as we continually acknowledge our need of God's transforming presence with us. So I call you to this Lenten Festival 2021 Table Life Church, a church that is committed to live in the way of Jesus, I invite you to this sacred time. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for the mercy that was given to us on the cross. We thank you that through Christ, your Son, our Lord, we have hope in a broken world. And as we reflect on its brokenness this day, we reflect on our own shortcomings and failures. Let us never forget that you are a righteous God, a God who has chosen to rather die than live without us. And so we pray, Lord, that in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our pain, that we would be reminded that there is hope in Christ. I pray through this Lenten season that we would demonstrate and find our way to live lives worthy of being called the children of God. This we offer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God. Our scripture reading is found in Joel 2, 1 through 2, and 12 through 13. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from old, nor will it be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rent your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20b through 6:2. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation.
And now I invite you to stand out of honor for the gospel reading found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So today is Ash Wednesday, and this is the Lenten season. And this is the day, Ash Wednesday, when we face the reality of our human limitations. A day when we stare mortality, weakness, failure in the face and acknowledge that the best of us all will fall short of the perfect image that God created humanity to be. We are reminded that sin, which we humans brought into the world, has broken creation, and the perfect balance that once was now continues to the perfect balance that was destroyed by us continues to ravage the earth to this day. And nothing reminds us more of our limitations, our inability to control sin's damaging effects, than that of widespread disease. This time last year, we were hearing about things like stay-at-home orders, things like social distancing and mask wearing. We were being told about a pandemic that was beginning to reach its fingers across the globe. This pandemic has reminded all of us that none of us are truly masters of our own destinies. We can't ignore it. Some could say it's a hoax. Some could say that it's just a fear tactic. But this community of faith knows, especially in the last 3 months, that coronavirus, COVID-19, or the Rona, as some people call it, is real. Just in the last couple of months in this community of faith, we have had to say goodbye to some of our dear members and brothers and sister in the faith. People like Julia Marburger, people like Skip Folk, has succumbed to this pandemic. Others have had to deal with quarantines. The Dunlap family, the Hodges at one time, And yes, even the Wolf family had to quarantine. And so whether it's a hoax or not in some people's minds, we at Table Life Church know this pandemic is real. When we think about it, I often hear people talk about this pandemic and they talk about the old days, which were about 13 months ago. And we talk about what it used to be like before the pandemic. We often talk about how our children will probably refer to their children and grandchildren about the time before and the time after the pandemic. We long for a time when we could freely play unmasked in this world again, where we don't have to keep a 6-foot bubble around us. We dream of images where we could go outside with our families and hug and dance and be together. Our minds might go to a beautiful park on a warm spring day, and we are listening to the laughter of children as they play, as they giggle, as they run freely with the wind and the warm weather in their hair. We listen to them as they dance and they sing, and we just enjoy this moment, and we see the smiles, we see the brightness and excitement in their eyes. We watch them hold hands and they begin to dance around a circle and they begin to sing an old song that even we heard in our childhood. Ring around the rosies, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. And then we're reminded as we hear them sing that this broken world is centuries old. We're reminded of the words of Joel when he says, "Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, fear, plague, disease, limitation." That song that those playful children sing comes, many believe, from a time known as the Black Death. In 1665, the Great Plague of London was the last major outbreak of what is known as the bubonic plague in England, or Black Death. This plague repeatedly swept through Europe from the 14th to the 17th centuries. Think about that. 100-year pandemic, and we've only been doing this for a year. Repeatedly, it would take people's lives in masses. It is estimated by some historians that somewhere between 75 and 200 million people died of the Black Death. This Black Death went throughout Eurasia and Europe, and it all began in 1347. When you add all of these numbers up, it is estimated that somewhere up to 60% of Europe's population died in just a few years. The plague was said to have come from fleas off the backs of the infected rats that were brought on ships to the European harbors from Asia. It figures. This was a time where many goods were brought along the Silk Road, and apparently disease was brought as well. The Black Death and the bubonic plague had symptoms like large black boils in the groin, the neck, and the armpits. If those boils broke, they would ooze, they would bleed, and victims also shared symptoms that appeared like fevers and chills, seizures, muscle pain, headaches, and the development of red ringed rashes on their bodies. Ring around the rosies. McLarian Zenter, in a master's thesis at the University of Mississippi, actually wrote a paper on how the plague had affected the church. And this scholar cites three major things that happened during the bubonic plague that affected the church. The first was a major decline in the need for clergy. He states that what took place is that the plague was so bad that clergy themselves were dying and there was nobody there to perform last rites. In fact, the deaths happened so fast that the Pope actually issued a decree 2 years into the plague that said if there was no priest available, lay people could take confession and give last rites. And there was a movement within the church at that time where laity began to realize that they had to and could participate in the ministry of the church. And so there was a what we'll call a good outcome in some ways, that the church became fully engaged as all the saints began to work the ministry of the church. There was also, however, arose at that time a rise of flagellant groups, or groups that would wound themselves as an act of penance, thinking that that somehow would bring God's mercy. There was this mindset that this plague was a punishment of God on the earth, and that somehow the sins of the world had gotten so bad that God was wiping out population once again as he did in the flood, and many began to think that they needed to take extreme measures in order to find mercy. But probably one of the saddest things that was pointed out by this scholar was that violence arose against the Jews, the poor Jews, because they were different than the church. They worshiped on a different day. They practiced things differently. And all of a sudden, because they were different, it became popular to believe that the Jews, and by allowing the Jews to live in this Christian culture, somehow it was, again, God's punishment, and the way that they should take care of it is push the Jews out. The reality is that what we've learned from the history of the plague, and in some ways we're seeing again repeated in our own world today, is that sometimes there is a rise in the church to do more. Sometimes there's extreme approaches to handling this. And sometimes we just look for someone to blame and we take it out on them. And the world is a broken place full of broken people who need help. But in the midst of all of this brokenness, in the midst of all of this that has happened, God is calling us back from the brink of our own ruin. Ash Wednesday is not just a sacred reminder of how broken we humans have become, but it's also a reminder that God, seeing us in our helpless state, has decided to enter in and come to restore us and to make us whole. The Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthians, and he reminds us as well, for our sake he has made him sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Ash Wednesday initiates a time when we, unworthy, fallen, broken creatures, can be redeemed, restored, healed, but not by our own efforts, not by the things that we can do, but through the sacrificial love that has conquered death itself. It is, however, not a passive endeavor. It's not an accidental healing. We are called, and Ash Wednesday and the Lenten season calls us to participate in the healing of our world. The season of Lent is a time of prayer, fasting, self-examination, a time when we give up things or maybe we add things that we've neglected in our lives. But it's all in a preparation to celebrate the good news that death has died, that death is not the final word, and that healing and life and redemption are available. It's a time when we intentionally reestablish our spiritual disciplines to become recipients of God's healing grace in us and in our world. But there's a challenge that comes with the Lenten season, and that challenge is to not let our pious acts, our deliberate actions, become the avenue or the method that we use for healing. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talked about righteous people who would show off their piety. He talked about disfigured faces and looking forlorn in public so that people could could see that they were so righteous and doing the right thing. He talked about people that would come, and as they were giving their tithes and their alms, they would have trumpets blown so everybody could see what they were doing. But Christ warns the church, and he says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Observe Lent, but do it in a way that nobody knows. Secrecy in Lent is important. Pray secretly. Fast secretly. Subtract things from your life secretly. You see, this is so God could transform us, and so that we can never think that merely our practices become our redemption and the redemption of the world. The world is broke. The world needs healing. It needs to be resurrected from the ashes of death and decay. Ash Wednesday, although we think about our limitations, about our death, about the fact that we are from dust and to dust we shall return, Ash Wednesday is really about life. It's calling us to prepare ourselves to be ambassadors of God's life-giving grace to a world that is dying. It's not about righteous piety. It's not how much we can give up or add to our lives. It's about preparation to become the channels of God's redemption in this world. It's about being called the people of God. The scholar John Holbert once wrote that we often go through the motions of piety and ritual, but too rarely do we act on what it is all supposed to mean. Let us reframe maybe this old nursery rhyme a little bit that we learned as kids. Ashes to ashes, we all fall down. We sang that not aware, maybe, that it was a ditty that was birthed out of the time of the great plague where so many people died. Maybe this Ash Wednesday, we should change the words. Why not sing ashes to ashes, we all stand up. We stand up for those who need around us. We stand up for the poor. We stand up for the oppressed. And we stand up for those neighbors whose differences have kept us skeptical and at a distance by positioning ourselves to be channels of resurrection power. Life-giving hope in the name of Jesus, the Redeemer of this world. There's a song called Ashes, chorus, if you will. And I want to share the words as a challenge to you this day. We rise again from ashes, from the good that we failed to do. We rise again from ashes to let you, O God, make us new. If all our world is ashes, then must our lives be true? An offering and of ashes, an offering to you. We offer you our failures. We offer you our attempts. The gifts not fully given, the dreams not fully dreamt. Give our stumbling direction. Give our vision wider view. An offering of ashes, an offering to you. We rise again from ashes. Let healing come to pain. Though spring has turned to winter and sunshine turns to rain, the rain we'll use for growing and create the world anew. From an offering of ashes, an offering that we give, O Lord, to you. I offer this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you who are watching online to reach in your Lenten bags and get your ashes out. And we are going to offer ashes here to the staff that is assembled. And I invite you that if you're on your own and you want to, you can do it with us. If you're with your family, I invite you to take the time and offer the ashes to one another. So at this time, we offer the ashes. Back on this Ash Wednesday, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Be thankful, repent, and believe the good news. Barb, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Repent and believe the good news. Pastor Becky, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So repent and believe the good news.
Pastor Jeff,
remember that you are dust. To dust you will return. Be thankful and repent.
Thanks be to God. And now we offer a congregational prayer of confession that is found in Psalm 51. Let us read this responsively. Have mercy on me, O God.
According to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy.
Blot out my transgression.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For you know my transgressions.
And my sin is ever before me.
Against you and you alone have I sinned. So that you are justified in your presence.
And blameless when you have judged me.
Indeed, I was born guilty.
A sinner
when my mother conceived me.
You desire truth in the inward being.
Therefore, teach me wisdom in my sacred heart.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness.
Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And put a new and right spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence.
And do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And sustain in me a willing spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways.
And sinners will return to you.
Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation.
And my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
For you have no delight in sacrifice.
If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased.
The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise.
God, speak your peace, speak your peace. Oh, Spirit of God, speak your peace, speak your peace. Now and at the hour. Oh.
Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Merciful God, we are reminded as we begin this Lenten journey, as we consider the meaning and the purpose of Ash Wednesday, that to live means to face death, to means to face limitations. It means to know times things are not in our control. But we are also reminded that death is not the final word. Death is but something that we experience in life. And that for those of us who have placed our faith in your Son Jesus, that death is conquered, that life is possible. But as we have seen in the example of Christ, in order to obtain life, real life, eternal life, we must pass through death. And so I pray, Lord, as we begin this 40-day journey, a journey of prayer, of fasting, of blessed subtraction, and possibly blessed addition, as we intentionally spend more time in your word, listening to the voice of those who have gone before us share their journey of faith, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, that even in our darkest moments when death and limitations and brokenness surround us, that we would never forget that you are shaping us and forming us in secret ways to be a people prepared to bring life to this dying world. We pray this in the name of the Father who created us, the Son who redeemed us, and the Spirit who sustains us. Amen. And now, I offer you this benediction. Go in peace, remembering that you are but dust and ashes, unworthy of being called the people of God. But also remember that you who were no people, God by his love and his grace has made a people, children of his own household. So let us go forth in humility to be Christ in a broken world. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.
God, glory to God in the highest. God, glory to God.